this morning, and I have a message I want to share with you. As we prepare to enter a new year, reflecting on a very difficult 2020, I want to challenge you as believers of the importance of putting first things first. With all the things that seek your attention, it's important that we prioritize the important things and put them first. However, it's been said that important things are seldom urgent, and urgent things are seldom important. Let me illustrate here. I've got a few things up here. This is an empty vase, and let's just say this represents your life. I'm not suggesting you're empty or anything like that. It's empty. This vase here represents all the urgent things. I got to get new snow tires. The myriad of necessary things that we have to do. We have to grocery shop. There's a whole host of things. But this jar here, with five golf balls in it, represents the important things. And after I did this, I realized that was a poor analogy to use golf balls, because some of you are going to think that golf is what is really important. But so much for that. And so what happens in our lives, we are filled with the urgent things. We've got to have snow tires. We go to Myers. We got a baseball game to go watch. And we fill up our life with all of these things. Certainly some of them are necessary. And then we try to fit into that the important things. And the problem is, when we put the important things last, we end up, and if I had some young people, I could flip these over into the floor because it overflowed. There wasn't enough time for the important things. And oftentimes the urgent and necessary crowd out the important things that we have in our lives. The concept of first things is certainly taught throughout the scripture. If you go to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, it says, "You shall give him," that is God, "the first fruits of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the first shearing of your sheep." Now, in that day, they were farmers, they were ranchers, and so forth. And what they did is they gave the very first part of their crop, whether it was new wine, whether it was grain or oil, or the shearing of their sheep, they would give that, and the very first part and the best part they would give to God as an offering. In Matthew 6, some of you are familiar, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." And Jesus was talking about that when we put him first in our lives, all these other things that certainly are necessary, but they will take care of themselves. But there is a thing called first fruits, putting first things first. And then, as you might know, in the Old Testament, there are 613 Old Testament commandments. But it's very interesting that Jesus prioritized these commandments when asked by a Pharisee in Matthew what was the most important one. And, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" the Pharisee said. And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So even there, in those 613 commandments, Jesus prioritized what was first and most important. And so this morning, I want to challenge you with the concept of first things first as we enter into this new year. Now, there are five important things that I want to share with you this morning about your relationship with Jesus. And I will emphasize here that these are very simple truths, but they are not easy. they will require a wholeheartedness on your part in responding to those. And so I'd like to challenge you with these five things this morning. And before we do that, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this morning. I'm grateful for a new week, for a new day, and soon to be a new year. And Lord, as we approach this new year, I pray we might do so on purpose, that we might do so purposefully and with thought and reflection and with an understanding of the priorities that you have given to us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning through your, not only through your word, but through your Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to share with you five things to put first things first in your life. And these have a tremendous impact on your life throughout your whole life and certainly for eternity. The first area of importance is to give God the first part of every day. In Mark 1:35, we read these words. Very early in the morning, and I think it's significant that it was early in the morning, the very first part of the day, that Jesus, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. The most valuable thing that you have in your life is time. Every single person has 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and 7 days a week. No more, no less. The rich and the poor have the exact same amount. The powerful and the lowly have the same amount in their lives. But one of the key principles we should understand is that when you waste your time, you waste your life. When you're young, it probably doesn't seem that big of a deal, but when you get to be my age, and some of you even older, all of a sudden, the preciousness of time. And that is why there is no better way to begin your day and prepare your day by giving the first part of your day to studying God's Word and prayer. Praying to Jesus and asking Him for wisdom and direction as you follow the promptings of His Word and His Spirit. None of us knows what the day brings. None of us knows what the week brings. But the best way to be prepared for the day and for the week ahead is to give God the first part of that day in His Word and in prayer to enable you and equip you for whatever it is that lies ahead. Now, I'm going to say, it's very simple, but it's not easy. The second area of important things that I'd like to challenge you with this morning is to give God the first day of every week. And again, the scripture tells us, on the first day of the week, this is in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, and that is Sunday. Isn't it interesting so many calendars use Monday as the first day of the week? But according to scripture, Sunday is the first day of the week that we begin our week. And on the first day of the week, when we gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. The early believers understood the priority of meeting together as the body of Christ, as the church, as the ecclesia, as the called out ones, to come together for two purposes. To break bread, that is communion, and to encourage one another. How do you get through the next week? I know that there are some families right now that have some tremendous challenges and heartaches that are going on. How do you face the reality of sick loved ones or even loved ones who have passed away because of COVID? How do you deal with the fact that some of us are not working or have a steady income and the financial picture is becoming bleak? Well, interestingly, the early church met primarily for the purpose of communion. Because it was in communion that they saw their relationship with Jesus, who lived inside them now, was where their strength, their help, their hope, and their encouragement. And as you know, by nature, we are forgetful people. And so when we gather on the first day of the week, we come to remember the most significant thing. It is not the sermon. It is not the music. It is the communion. Because that brings us face to face with Jesus, who not only died for our sins, but raised from the dead and now lives and empowers us to face whatever it is that you're about to face. I was always intrigued by Mother Teresa. And if you know anything about her, she worked with the most lowly, outcast people in the world. Many of them suffering from AIDS and other diseases, sick and infirm. And she worked tirelessly. And somebody asked her, how is it that you can do this? She says, every morning I have communion with Jesus. How are you going to face what you face in your life? This reminder, when we gather on the first day of the week, tells us that. But we're not only called to break bread, we're called to encourage one another in the faith. We don't come here just to sit and listen. The idea is that we're going to encourage one another because something is going to happen. And you know what that is? Jesus is coming back. And you do not want to be surprised when he comes back. And yet many people will be. And if anybody shouldn't be, it should be the church, the believers, the called out ones. Because we meet weekly to encourage one another, to build each other up, remembering that Jesus is coming back. And let me just tell you, the return of Jesus is within 75 years. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. You can't say that. Well, either he comes back or you're going to die. And I'm looking around here, it could be a lot sooner for some of you. See, the point is, Hebrews 10, and let us consider how we may spur one another on. That's why we come together here, is to spur one another, to encourage each other, to build each other up in Jesus, not just to sit down. How are you doing? How's your faith? Are you meeting with them regularly? So glad you're here. How's the first part of every day going? To spur one another on, to love and good deeds, not giving up as some are in the habit of doing. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Give God the first day of every week. The first part of every day. And that's what he's called us to do. I guess that's this one right here. Sorry. Thirdly, there's a third priority that I believe that Scripture has given to us. And believe me, there's time to do everything that needs to be done. There's always enough time in the day to do the perfect will of God. And what we're doing is identifying the priorities that God has given to us. To give him the first part of every day, the first day of every week. And thirdly, this first thing might be the most difficult one of all. Because it goes to the issue of one's heart. Give God the first part of every dollar. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus made a gut-wrenching statement when he said this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your heart follows where your treasure is in your life. And Jesus identifies this profound truth that our treasure reveals what is truly important in our hearts. By giving the first part of every dollar, whether it's the first part of $100, $10, first part of $100,000, be $10,000, we practice one of the most important first fruits, that is to guard our hearts from the snare of material things. I always remember Jim Elliot. Some of you might remember Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a young man in the 50s, a very gifted, talented Christian man who believed that God had called him to preach the gospel to the headhunters in Ecuador. And Jim and four other guys went to Ecuador to preach the gospel, and ultimately they were all speared through and murdered. Before Jim went, people would say, "Jim, why are you going to Ecuador? You are waste. I mean, there's so much need here, and you're so gifted and so talented." And his response was, "Why should I preach a gospel where all of us have heard it 100 times, when these people have never heard it once?" And then he made this statement. He said, "The dust on our Bibles and the reality of our checkbooks is our condemnation." He understood. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's simple. Give God the first part of every day, dollar. Simple, isn't it? But it's not easy. It's not easy to write that check for $10,000, is it? It's not even easy to write the check for $5, especially in light of what's going on now. But you see, the reason it's so difficult is it hits the issue of our heart. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to hit us at our heart level so that we can experience His best. There is a fourth area that I'd like to share with you, and that is to put God first in your habits and your activities. In Colossians 3:23, we read, whatever you do. And I think that means whatever you do. Eating, exercise, work, school, dating. But whatever you do, do it. Work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. Now I'm going to make a statement. Some of you are going to have to think about this, and you might disagree with it, but don't come and talk to me that you disagree with it until you've thought about it for at least 30 minutes. Everything you do is spiritual. Everything you do is spiritual. Your work is spiritual. If God has called you to work, then you are supposed to work, not for your boss, but unto the Lord. If God has called you to go to school, you're studying, you're working on that high school diploma or that college degree or that PhD or whatever it is. If God's called you to do that, that is your spiritual work and activity, and you need to do the absolute best you can as unto the Lord. Whether it's working out, your finances, or your entertainment. In evaluating your habits and activities and entertainment, ask yourself, can I do this wholeheartedly as working for the Lord? Is your work where God called you to be? Then do it wholeheartedly as unto Him, not unto your boss. Makes a whole difference if you're working for Jesus than Joe Schmo, doesn't it? But that's what you're doing. Work at it with all your heart is working unto the Lord. Is your body a temple of the Holy Spirit? Scripture says it is. Then do your workouts or running or stair climbing or whatever you do as unto the Lord. Do your absolute best with it, because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we want to honor our bodies for Jesus. Is the way you handle your finances consistent with the principles of God's Word? Do it wholeheartedly according to the principles of God's Word. Is your eating glorifying to God? What? Why would you ask that question, John, right after Thanksgiving and Christmas? And I'll be honest with you, I have gained a few pounds. I start keto on Monday. Do you know that God's Word has a lot to say about our eating? And we laugh and joke about that stuff. Can you do the eating you do unto the glory of God? You know, you're really meddling, so wash. Well, I don't get paid to be the preacher here, so it doesn't matter. But they're honest questions, aren't they? And that's what I want to challenge you with here this morning, is the priorities and the things that we do. Remember, everything you do is spiritual when you can do it unto the Lord and under the direction of His Word and His Spirit. And if you cannot do it unto the Lord, why are you doing it? Again, it's one of those simple statements, but it's not easy because it causes us to evaluate where we are and what we're doing. Finally, put God first in your home. Joshua 24:15, a familiar verse, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day. Make a choice what you're going to do. Make a choice whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you might say, well, I don't have to worry about worshiping the gods of the Euphrates. I don't worship flies. I don't worship frogs. I don't worship gnats. What do we worship? Do we worship sports teams? Do we worship material things? Do we worship fashion? Some of the weirdest fashion shows I have ever seen in the airport. I see them in the airport because CNN has them on there and they have these fashion shows. And we may not worship the mosquitoes and the bugs and all those other things, but look at all the things we worship. Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No place allows you to demonstrate what is most important to you more than your home. Your home, believe it or not, is a mini church, if you're a believer. It is a place where you reflect Jesus and what is important to Jesus in your life. Ask yourself, does my home reflect that Jesus is first in my life? What is in the walls? What is on the walls of your house? I'm old enough to remember 1963 when the Madeline Murray O'Hara, the famous atheist, appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States to remove prayer and to remove the Ten Commandments from our schools. And she won. And Christians wring their hands. Oh, this was terrible. This was horrible. Do you have the Ten Commandments hanging in your house? Is prayer a big part of your house and your family? You see, we may not be able to influence what's going on in other places, but we can sure influence what is in our homes. And even most importantly, is your home a place of hospitality and welcoming to all? I mean, not just to your close friends, but to those who have special needs and special circumstances. I'm always amazed at the people my wife brings home from Myers. She works at Myers. We have had some very interesting people. But you know what? They know we love them. And why we love them, I'm not always sure, but because of Jesus, I know the answer. But a number of years ago, I lived with 10 young men at Central Michigan University. And we met every morning for Bible study and prayer. And it was a Christian household, and we did some things. And one day I came home to our house, and it was always unlocked and open. And there was what appeared to me to be a bum sleeping on the couch in the living room of our house. I was the head of the house, so it was my obligation to find out what was going on. So I went over to this fellow whose name was Ralph. And I shook him and I said, I don't want to hurt anybody. I said, who are you? I just needed a place to sleep. I said, okay, all right, that's fine. We're Christians, we'll let you do that. So then as the other 9 guys came in throughout the night, I stayed up half the night waiting for them to come in. And I warned every one of them, there was a bum sleeping on our couch. Lock your doors and watch your stuff. And I snuggled into my little jammies in my bed. And the scripture that says, entertain strangers unaware, for in doing so, you may entertain angels unaware. I just fell under tremendous conviction that I had called this guy a bum to 9 different guys who might actually be an angel. And so that morning, we gather for breakfast. We all had breakfast together. We would read a chapter of Scripture and we go around. When the Scripture came to Ralph, he borrowed somebody's Bible and he read it. And I mean, it was like the voice of God. And it was the key Scripture of the entire chapter. And we're all going, whoa! And so we had all kind of gotten the message later that night. And so we made Ralph lunch, and we sent him on his way. And then all 9 of us were standing at the door in the window watching him as he walked down the sidewalk, waiting for him to disappear. And I don't know if Ralph was an angel, but the point is, that's the kind of people God wants us to be hospitable to. How much even more so now, during COVID? I'm not saying be careless, but you know the best thing that happens to me when I'm in Myers, I see somebody without a mask and they smile at me. I see you smiling. We need that. We need that hospitality spirit, and that's the spirit of Christ for the believers. Years ago, I found I guess we got all 5 of them in there. All 5 priorities. Give God the first part of every day. The first day of every week. First part of every dollar. First in your habits and activities. And first in your home. Years ago, I saw a profound statement that impacted me greatly. It wasn't in a great book or quoting a famous person. It was on the billboard for a hamburger chain. And it said this: life is not a matter of chance. It is a matter of choice. More than anything else, your life will be determined by the priorities and choices you make. Let me encourage you to put first things first. And you know what happens when you put the first things first? And then there's always time for car shopping and grocery shopping and so forth. All of a sudden, all these other things, not only do we get the first things first, but just about everything else fits into our life. Well, I guess we can't watch the Lions this week. This is a message I have for you as believers. But let me just tell you, say something. If you're not a believer, this message is not for you. No amount of going to church, no amount of giving money will change your eternity. The priority, the first and foremost priority for you, is a relationship with Jesus. I was 18 years old, very popular in school, tremendous athlete, a legend in my own mind. I did well in school, had lots of friends. And I was absolutely miserable. And nobody knew it. And the reason I was miserable, I can understand why kids who do drugs and mess around and get in trouble. That wasn't me. I did everything right. And I was miserable. because something was missing inside me. C.S. Lewis says, within every man there is a God-shaped void that only he can fill. And on March 25th, 1973, I was presented with an invitation from Ivan Oder. He was my pastor. Can you imagine a name like Ivan Oder? His sister was Ima Jean Oder. This is a true story. Ivan gave the invitation, and I went forward. And when I went forward, there was a gasp in the entire youth group and half the congregation. Why is he going forward? See, they thought I was a good kid. Didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't chew, didn't go with girls that did. But you know what? There was a God-shaped void in my life. The only way to fill that void is not going to church. It's not giving money. It's Jesus. And if you're here this morning, and that void is in your life, and I don't have to tell you, you already know it, because I knew it without anybody telling me. Or if you're listening, you know it. I want to encourage you to seek me out before you leave this morning, and I'd like to share with you what is involved in entering that relationship with Jesus. It's simple, but it's not easy. But it'll be the greatest decision you ever make. For the rest of you who are believers, I can only encourage and challenge you to make 2021 your best year ever. We have no idea what is going to happen with COVID. But when you give God the first part of every day, the first day of every week, the first part of every dollar, first in your habits and first in your home, it'll be the greatest year you've ever experienced. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. It's encouragement, it's challenge. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to each of our hearts according to our need. And I ask this in your name. Amen.